That was wonderful. Wow. Just remember my little kid singing, but four girls, definitely good voices. Look forward to more and more as they grow older. We got it made. Hopefully they stay. Good afternoon, everybody. As Michelle and I were driving in, I saw all those cars parked. I go, they must think Jeff's speaking. So, sorry. We'll give it a shot, but hopefully I'll live up to that reputation. But if not, at least we'll read from the Bible. You can be assured of that. Last week when I spoke, spoke about sin, and I concluded the sin and being able to divide the word of truth. In fact, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, this is, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you look that up, it means to cut straight. And you look up and do the research, it'll tell you what it means that if you're going to teach, you need to explain it correctly. In fact, there's a warning about that, because I know when I was much younger, I wanted to speak more, but then there's a warning when you get up here or anywhere where you try to teach. James 3, verse 1, it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. That means if you think you can teach and you want to, you better make sure what you do, especially in front of God's people or anybody else where you're expounding from God's word, that it is accurate, because you are being held to a higher standard. Not that we're less, but in when you teach, there's an additional, because there's an implication, there's an influence you exert on people. And so if you don't do that, it's kind of important that we do it. And this dividing the word of truth, ironing, sharpening iron, once in a while, there are some individuals that when I meet and talk, drive me crazy, because they give you scenarios and you talk Bible and you go for hours and your brain gets stretched. And I know, generally speaking, not an insult against women, but women generally don't like, they kind of take a walk and talk about something else. Not that they're not interested in the Bible, but I know they don't want to stay up in the wee hours of the night hashing things out necessarily. But I know they're as interested in the Bible as we all are, but not the way guys do it, generally speaking. And last week we had a friend from California who was a college friend who every time he comes up, we eat, you know, we go to a meal, we eat, we talk, and then it starts. So, how about this situation? What do you think? And, of course, my wife and his wife just start talking, and they kind of ignore us. And I try to share what I can, but they have other things to discuss. But it kind of reminded me again of this dividing the word of truth. And I wanted to today have a little fun, at least fun from my standpoint, but hopefully a learning experience to provide a opportunity to exercise this rightly dividing word of truth thing. The challenge, I think, will be what I described. I'm stealing this from, or borrowing it from Dave Haver, is to support what I believe by the scriptures, and you will come up with your own scriptures why you believe what you believe. But we have a framework here. Number one, God is love, and that he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. I think we agree all that. And that also I understand perfectly in Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So this is not, this is what Gonzalez, Dennis Gonzalez says, you got to follow it because this is the way it is. It's more like, you're on your own, buddy. You better know what you're talking about, because in the end, we know pretty clearly that we will stand before God and be judged. Romans 14, it says, I'll read this part quickly, 14 verse 7, none of us lives to himself, no one dies to himself. In verse 8, of Romans 14, for if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And then verse 10, I'm jumping. Why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. What I'm just bringing that up because that's where I'm coming from. I'm not here to push anything, and I think you know that. I'm just saying that because, to be clear, because I'm going through some scenarios here where, as far as I'm concerned, your answer is your answer, and you're going to answer for it on Judgment Day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, the great white throne judgment, as verses 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and for the heaven fled, and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life.